Good evening, world. This is the podcast Acid Frass, and your host, S. Laura Cattell. Welcome back to Infinite Possibilities from the incomparable Mr. Mike Dooley. His first bestseller list novel. Well, novel, book. That received such high praise that Bob Proctor agreed to do the foreword for the 10th year anniversary edition. Had nothing but good things to say about it. Truly helps you understand your role in the universe, the nature of your own being and creation, and the abilities that you have and came born with, came preloaded with. You have the ability to make your life as you want. You simply need to direct your thoughts in an ordered fashion and know at least some of the basics, and then off you go and you can create and manifest however you like. So we left off yesterday. We managed to get to chapter 2 after the highly regarded first chapter 1. Thoughts become things. There it is. That wasn't too bad. So, just a quick recap for his visualization. Habits? Four rules. Don't overdo it. Be gentle with yourself. Feel the joy. And don't visualize more than once or twice a day. Oh, excuse me. And I do apologize if I was a little bit all across the map yesterday. I was trying to get it in before I went to bed, and it had been a long day. I was putting that at about 9:30, almost 10 o'clock last night, so if I sounded a bit off the wall, my sincerest apologies. So good things to remember, alright? We went over this manifesting change, he reiterated it again in that book. Not to visualize for more than 5 minutes at a time. Maximum 10 for the day. Alright, he streamlines it a little bit. In manifesting change, he says to do it just once per day. Try and keep it to a minimum. Otherwise, what you end up doing is daydreaming instead of visualizing. You don't actually go out and do anything. That gets you closer to your goal. You don't actually go out into the universe and do anything. So it's important to keep it to a minimum. However, important caveat. And I'm so glad he put this in there, and I'm going to say it again, because it provides proper context. He made it a point to let you know that when he was trying to turn around his, worrying about getting fired, when he was at his first 5 months at Price Waterhouse, he was still worrying about getting fired while he took 5 minutes in the evening to visualize the end result he wanted, which was happy, joyful, look forward to going to work today, every day. People were giving him high fives and smiling and all those things. But the rest of the time, he was doing all the things that, you know, normally we would think wouldn't allow for those things to happen. Right? He was worrying, he was fretting, he was hand-wringing, as you would put it. So when they sit there and say, and they went over this, I think, in The Secret also, is that a positive thought is like 1,000 or 10,000 times more powerful than a negative one. This is a very good illustration of that point. And a very real-world example to give you so that you're not sitting there stressing out too much. Alright. just make sure you're getting in a good quality 5 minutes, right? You're not checking your phone. You're not trying to listen to something else in the background. Really get into the visualization of whatever end result it is you want. Right? In manifesting change, he had developed what he called his matrix for manifestation. Little graph guide, and happiness took up an entire column. So, visualize yourself happy. You know, high fives, you love going to work, you love getting up in the morning. That kind of thing, excuse me. Use that as your visualization, right? End result. What is the end result? Do you want the car? Visualize yourself driving the car. Visualize yourself getting up in the morning and getting into the car. Is it the house? Visualize yourself waking up in the morning in your house, going downstairs, getting your coffee, or your orange juice, or your tea, or whatever it is that you have in the morning, right? Go throughout your day with that as your house. Visualize yourself walking the halls in your PJs, playing with your kids down in the living room, or watching TV on the couch after a long day's work. Whatever it is, but imagine yourself there, right? So, that's what we went over in chapter one. Really to hammer home the very basic, even though it ends up being very complex, very basic principle that thoughts become things. And so today we start with chapter two, beliefs. And we touched on this briefly about how from age like 0 to 7, our brains are stuck in record. And most of the habits and behaviors that we learn that guide the rest of our lives, we learn in those first 7 years. Okay? So what ends up happening is if your parents were middle class or poor or rich, whatever it was, that's generally the trend that you end up going down. Right? If your parents were middle class, you usually end up being middle class. If your parents were wealthy, you usually end up being wealthy. If your parents were poor, you usually end up being poor. Because the beliefs that we end up learning from them as we're growing up is usually based from their perspective. Okay? Comes with certain expectations, and those beliefs are working in the background even as you're trying to manifest something specific. We went over yesterday a good back and forth, right? You're trying to manifest a $400,000 a year job or paycheck while simultaneously you hold the belief that rich people are evil. Those two can't exist at the same time. You understand? And so the term this has been given in the industry is an internal block, or a limiting belief. These limiting beliefs are creating an internal block to the manifesting that you are wanting to happen, trying to happen, that kind of thing. Right? And these can be about anything. Job, money, health, relationships, right? If you grew up in a household where there was a lot of arguing all the time, and it was very mean, you probably grew up with some trust issues, some relationship issues. You might think you're damaged. Kids of divorced parents have an unhealthily high statistic of relationship issues going forward, right? So it's important to find these limiting beliefs, where they are inside yourself. Because once you know where they are, once you know what they are, then you can do something about it. Then you can retrain, reprogram yourself. But you gotta find where the problem is first. Okay? Where the block is first. So today we're going over beliefs. Chapter 2. And before I get any farther, I shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland, thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you are doing. I know it's rough out there. People are putting out in crazy numbers for hiring, and no one is still biting. And if something doesn't change soon, that one thing alone is going to drastically change the landscape of Americana as it is. And I can't say that it would be for the better. In so much as the variety of restaurant is a relatively recent and new thing across the historical spectrum. Previously, you'd go to a tavern and you'd get subpar food or whatnot, as if you were a traveler. You'd get whatever was there. You didn't really have much choice. Nowadays, you've got different classes of restaurants, different sizes, wildly different price points. You've got the small internet cafes, you've got coffee bars, you've got diners, you've got dives, you've still got bars, you've got taverns, you've got gastropubs. Oh goodness, you've got fine dining all the way from 1-star up to 5-star, which is really difficult to get. So many options. Right? Well, if the problems with hiring keeps going, those options are going to shrink back down again as businesses have to close because they can't stay open with being so short-staffed. Because not only does that drop down service time for the customer waiting, it also heaps a massively disproportionate amount of work on the ones that do show up, which runs them down even faster and makes them not want to come into work even quicker. So it's a real recipe for disaster. And I gotta say, I didn't think I'd ever see that happen in this country or any country that's considered first world. And it's a really sad realization. So I'm hoping whoever's listening to this, whatever happens, may you find work that's fulfilling. And when you go home, I hope that you are surrounded by happiness and love. And if you live to see another day, and I hope you live to see another day, I hope that that next day is better. And the one after that, and the one after that, and so on, until whatever is going on out there evens itself back out, and things start to, if not go back to normal, perhaps become better than it was before. But whatever it is that you're going to, I beg of you, please don't quit. Please don't quit. Alrighty. So, Chapter 2, Beliefs. Anything that affects our thinking affects our lives, and nothing else affects our thinking more than our beliefs. In this chapter, I'll touch on the fundamentals of how our beliefs shape our thoughts, and thus our world. Thinking is believing. Day in and day out, we are always unavoidably thinking thoughts. And surprisingly, we are hardly aware of what most of them are. Yet as we perpetually think these thoughts, we also perpetually visualize, anticipate, expect, and, ultimately, manifest the life we lead. We unconsciously, yet effortlessly, breathe life into all our experiences, giving little, if any, attention to our thoughts and the mechanics involved. And so it should be. But what we ought to at least become aware of is that it's our normal everyday thoughts and wandering imagination that compose most of our thoughts. So it's these thoughts that are responsible for bringing about most of our experiences. So the billion-dollar question is, how can I direct the stream of my countless daily thoughts so they work to serve my needs and desires? And the billion-dollar answer is by aligning your beliefs with the life of your dreams. As one believes, so shall one think. In other words, to master your thoughts and imagination, and therefore your life and destiny, you must first master their captain, your beliefs. By ensuring that your beliefs about reality and your place in it are in alignment with your dreams, you can rest assured that you will naturally and automatically be thinking the good thoughts, even when you're not paying attention. And these, in turn, will become the things and events of your life. Believing is thinking. To begin with, what are beliefs? Let me give you a few examples by asking you some simple questions that can be answered with two or three descriptive words. First, what do you think of people in general? For instance, are they kind, trustworthy, and good-hearted? Or are they shallow, naive, and lazy? Okay, now what do you think of life in general? Is it easy, hard, exciting, or boring? And good health? Is it elusive or predictable? And do you have it or do you wish you did? And tell me about yourself. Are you creative, stubborn, determined, carefree, disappointed? No matter how you answered those questions, you've just shared with me some of your beliefs. Here's the catch. You think your answers are simply innocent observations about your reality and yourself. But instead, they've actually helped create your reality. If you think life is hard, for example, it becomes hard. It wasn't hard to begin with. Not until you started thinking it was. Over time, however, you stopped seeing this observation as your opinion and began seeing it as a fact of life. And thus the belief was born. We have thousands of beliefs. Sorry, somebody left my music on way too loud. And that was, I like piano, but not when it's ringing in my ear. Okay. Where were we? Okay, so life hard. Wasn't hard until you started thinking it was. Stop saying it's a... Okay, so we have thousands of beliefs. They're not all undesirable, but they do become the de facto police officers of our thoughts. They create rules for our thinking, and these rules are the most rigid ones we live by. You see, apart from what would be a very short list of life's absolutes, or truths of being, there are almost no rules. Here's a brief list of these absolutes, or truths, which I have deduced from my own life experiences and observations. Ooh, how long is this one? Yee! Yeah! Yeah, we should be able to get to them. Okay. The truths of being. Life's absolutes. We are all one, of one, of God, divine, interconnected. Excuse me. Nothing can exist outside of God or be non-God. To be non-God, where would it come from? What would it be made of? This is perhaps the most basic, most obvious truth. It's easy to deduce with the slightest contemplation, leading to the obvious conclusion, espoused by many religions, that there has only ever been, and therefore could only ever be, one God. All that is seen and all that is unseen is pure God. Every grain of sand, the vacuums of space, every thought, every one of us is pure God. It's only been our virtually exclusive reliance upon our physical senses to interpret reality and to pass judgment that makes this tricky to grasp. And that leads us to want to see everything in duality. We see life as either or, black or white, causing some to assume that if there's a God, there must be something opposite of God. There isn't. There can't be. Second truth. Thoughts become things. We are creators. Literally, our thoughts, being pure God for the prior truth, have an energy and a life force all their own. Our thoughts are alive, aware, and active. This is not to imply that they have human-like characteristics, just as we don't generally ascribe such characteristics to a zebra or a rose, even though both are pure God. But our thoughts have their own brand of awareness and their own characteristics and properties of consciousness. Within time and space, one such property is that our thoughts immediately, intelligently, seek to be physically manifested. Seen through the prism of time, God becomes consciousness, becomes awareness, becomes thought, becomes matter. Such transformations never diminish it, nor make it any less God. Life, third truth, life, consciousness, God, energy, we ourselves, is eternal. We are the creators of this illusory dimension of time. Einstein himself called it relative. So we must exist before it, and we will exist after it. Granted, this may again stretch those who rely exclusively upon their physical senses to interpret reality, but doesn't our mere essence, our mere existence, being clearly independent of our physical bodies, evidenced by the nighttime dream state, countless near-death and out-of-body reports, and our stream of waking consciousness, none of which can be logically the product of our cells, atoms, and molecules. Doesn't that make this obvious? And if our awareness is independent of our body, it must then be independent of space, and therefore independent of time. Time is simply an attribute, or a measure of space. They are one and the same, like an X and a Y axis that creates a plane. Without time, you cannot have space, and vice versa. Truth number four, there is only love, and or there is only God. Similar to, if not the same as, the first truth, this phraseology allows us to introduce the concept of love. Mustn't some form of love, divine love, undoubtedly far beyond what we practice as human love, be the motivation and reason behind all reality? Without love, which is a form of caring, why bother creating worlds and developing consciousness? Furthermore, when it comes to infinite divine intelligence, or the creator of all things, could there possibly exist even the tiniest pocket in reality that was forgotten, tainted, or miscreated into anything that wasn't full of divine love? This brings us to the next truth. It's all good. Everything is exactly as it should be. Again, similar to prior truths as above yet stated this way, this absolute allows for another concept to be addressed. Chance. In divine mind, even when all things remain possible, with infinite possibilities for expansion into unimaginable realms, in the deepest sense, ultimate outcomes, such as growing, learning, and remaining one with the divine mind after the adventure, were not left to chance. There's no possibility for mistake, accident, should have, maybe, or hope so. Because the general potentials for development were all seen and understood at a higher level before our adventure began. As an analogy, while there exists an infinite number of roads to Rome, none of them change Rome. And just because, to us, from our extremely limited perspectives, it seems that bad things happen. In the grandest scheme of things, this becomes an impossible conclusion. Further, taking into account that we are pure God, pure energy, eternal, living in an adventure dream world of our own creation, and that no matter what happens in this adventure, we all return to our celestial source, wiser, whole, enriched, and all-powerful. The only conclusion that exists is that it's truly all good. This list is not meant to be all-inclusive. This list is not meant to be all-inclusive, as each of these truths could have a number of spin-offs, such as those offered in the parentheses, but the list is sufficient to obtain a solid grasp on the nature of our reality and to begin applying our power to fantastic effect. I'd also like to point out that these truths, only one has a moving part, a variable. Thoughts become things. And look who's thinking now. These truths are absolute. They are for us like water is to a fish, indisputable givens. They are immovable. They exist even in the absence of belief in them, creating the stage we live our lives upon. Of course, it could be said that these are merely my beliefs, and frankly, I have very little concrete evidence to convince you that they are true, especially since they're not physically measurable. But must something be physically measurable to know with certainty of its existence? Is not being able to physically prove you dreamed of a red Corvette last night proof that you didn't? Is it unreasonable to ask that we look at our own lives for evidence of these truths? Is it not evident that my postulated absolutes are each empowering? That I do not have an agenda other than to free you from self-imposed limitations? That, unlike many religious doctrines, I exclude no one, under any circumstances, from the beauty of these truths? Do they not resonate deep within you? Have they not been uttered and shared by countless others throughout the ages, using words and metaphors that fit the times? If this kind of thinking is new for you, you may well have some hesitation in accepting it. But I can tell you that as an extreme student of life, in the past 30 years I have thought of and sought out every imaginable challenge to these absolutes. And with time, and through expanding my own thinking wildly outside the box, they have withstood every assault. Moreover, I can use them to understand and handily explain any life scenario. Within these truths, actually because of these truths, we are limitless in virtually any way we can imagine unless we believe otherwise. And then, suddenly, we've got rules, limits, and conditions. Even while these absolutes will not bend, because they don't bend, the experiences and manifestations they make possible have to. The tricky aspect of beliefs is that without our even knowing it, they limit what we allow ourselves to think, and therefore, what we can then manifest into our lives. They obscure the fact that things could be different. For instance, if you believe that life's deepest secrets can't or aren't meant to be known by mortal minds, then not only will you not dwell on life's meaning and block out new thoughts that could have drawn such answers to you, but your perceptions of what you do observe in life will be tunneled by your belief, zeroing you in on only the evidence that supports your theory. You might even say to yourself that you're open to contradictory evidence, yet if you don't believe it could exist based on your first belief, any evidence will be diminished and rationalized away. So your beliefs act like filters through which your every thought must be sifted. But these filters are invisible. Invisible, but not unknowable. And we will pause there until we get to tomorrow. At the next title to the subsection, Beliefs Rule. Okay, let's recap that real quick. Okay, so... Those... 5 absolute truths. That first one is really tricky. And it goes back to trying to understand that everything is the same energy from the same place because we're all the energy of the same being. So went over his little story at the beginning, all right, of the adventurers in time and space who were really sick and tired of being everywhere at once and wanted to be somewhere at only one time. And thus created matter and reality and space and worlds and dimensions and all sorts of things for the adventurers to go and play in. The adventurers exist outside time and space because they created time and space for them to go and play in. When you are done playing here, you will go back to being outside time and space. You are the adventurer. You came here to play. You came here to exist. You came here to explore what it means to exist within defined parameters. And in doing so, because you are the same thing as all of the creation around you, you have to remember that you have the ability to control the reality that you encounter around you. When you have beliefs, they start running things on autopilot in the background, and they filter, as he puts it, all the thoughts that come out of your head and all of the information that goes in it. And this is why it's problematic to have limiting beliefs. The more open you are to possibility, the more magic happens. I hope that was put in a manner that was easy to understand. So, alright, there's no agenda, according to Mr. As he states, he does not have any concrete evidence to prove this. He just followed logic to its logical conclusion. There's no agenda, there's no dogma, there's no limitations, except for the ones you place on yourself. To recap that real quick. The tricky aspect of beliefs is that, without our even knowing it, they limit what we allow ourselves to think, and therefore, what we can then manifest into our lives. They obscure the fact that things could be different. They obscure the fact that things could be different. Okay. And I'll go back to using the wishing to manifest healthy paycheck versus belief thinking rich people are evil. In order to manifest that paycheck, you have to change your belief from rich people are evil to rich people are kind and amazing and compassionate and philanthropic and all sorts of other really awesome words, verbs, however you want to call them. I don't do very good with grammar. I always get nouns and verbs mixed up. I don't know why. Alright. In order to get to that $400,000 a year paycheck on whatever it is that you want to do, you have to change your internal belief that rich people are evil, or money is the root of all evil, or it takes a lot of hard work, or it takes specialized knowledge, or whatever it is. Right? Same thing with, like, relationships. If you grew up in a argumentative household, you will probably grow up with the internalized belief that because you are of your parents and you watched your parents do this, that's how things get done. Maybe you end up being bad at relationships because you have an internal belief that you're just going to be bad at relationships. Or people are untrustworthy. Alright, that was a very good exercise that we started off believing is thinking, right? Simple questions. What do you think of people in general? Do you believe they're kind, trustworthy, and good-hearted, or do you believe they're shallow, lazy, and naive? If you believe people are shallow, lazy, and naive, you are going to approach people much differently than someone who believes people are kind, trustworthy, and good-hearted. Won't you? If you believe that life is hard, life is going to end up being hard. If you believe life is easy, life ends up being easy. Your beliefs run all of your thoughts in the background without your thinking about them. Alright? And your thoughts become things. Thankfully, Mr. Dooley put it in there rather pointedly. That even if you're sitting there, having those beliefs, running those things in the background all day long, like, case in point, Mr. Dooley, before he started trying to turn it around, believed he was going to get fired. And what ended up happening? His first 5 months at Pricewaterhouse was sucking. He couldn't seem to do anything right. He was manifesting the conditions that would get him fired. And the more he screwed up, the more he believed he was going to get fired, until he finally had the epiphany, oh, I'm doing this. I should actively try and change this, and he did it the only way that he knew how. And that was to visualize himself in the end result that he wanted to see, which was he was happy, he was fulfilled, he loved going to work, he looked forward to going to work, and everybody at work looked forward to having him. Okay? 5 minutes a day. But it's important. Because you have those beliefs running in the background. Okay? And they're running things on default autopilot. Alright. So we will come back tomorrow with beliefs rule. But that's a very good exercise. Alright. You may want to go back and just do that for your... Do that for your own interest. Right? What do you think of people in general? What do you think of life in general? What do you think of health? Good health? Tell me about yourself. Are you creative, stubborn, determined, carefree, disappointed? And then look at what you wrote. And genuinely ask yourself if those beliefs serve you. And if they don't, figure out which ones would or will.
and start actively changing them. So we will come back tomorrow with Beliefs Rule. And right now we're getting a little long, so we'll hop into our 2-minute brain break. So go ahead and get a little stretch and a little wiggle, and we will get that done. Let's take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And let it back out. And let's take another beautiful, luxurious, deep breath in. And let it back out. And just let your awareness settle into the space. And in your mind's eye, I want you to visualize that you're holding your phone in whatever dominant hand you normally hold your phone in. And however you do so, I want you to hang up the phone in your mind's eye. And I want you to stare at it in disbelief, excited, heart palpitating, eyes brimming with tears. Sorry about that. Eyes brimming with tears. Joy spreads everywhere. The news you've just heard, making you excited and thrilled and ecstatic. Your life just changed for the better. You're so excited, and you can feel it building. Your hands begin to shake, and you get up and you pace. Did that really happen? Holy crap, that just happened. Oh my god, that just happened. And all the wonderful thoughts about how your life is going to change. All the relief, the gratitude. Just pours in. Sit in this moment for a while.
Open your eyes. My apologies for the couple of hiccups. Again, I'm podcasting as I can from where I can, and unfortunately I don't have a dedicated space that I can use where I can close out all distractions, put a sign on my door saying please do not enter. Things are a little chaotic and hectic at my house right now. And so, as chaos and hectic things are wont to be, sometimes they interrupt me at inopportune times. So my apologies. So I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And we will catch up with more on beliefs. With beliefs rule. Because yeah, man, beliefs rule. Let me come back tomorrow. I truly appreciate you. Thank you for being here. This is the podcast Sassafras. Have a great rest of your night, guys.